to speak, and certainly when the one who chose me chose me, I am thankful to God and appreciate the opportunity to speak before God's people. This has been an interesting week for me. I had, Pastor always tells the ministers to be ready to speak at any time. And I did have my message already prepared, and come on Wednesday, I went to open up my flash drive and there was nothing there. And I panicked. I not panicked because I didn't have the message on there, but because there was other documents on there that I could not reproduce. The message was already here because God gave it to me, so it was there, just typed out. So I asked my husband to take it to our computer geeks that serve the church and serve the school, and they're really good. And if they can do it, they will. So my husband took it up there Thursday morning and dropped it off, and then they got he got a message and said that they couldn't get it, but they had, the owner was coming in to see if he could retrieve it, and that I could come by Thursday evening and pick it up, be ready. I went by Thursday evening. I said, "You just saved my life." He said, "Hold up. I couldn't do it either." So my flash drive is dead. Can't get any information off of it. But bless God, I have hard copies of those documents that I really need that I couldn't reproduce. But it's just a matter of, you have to go back and recreate it. That's the problem. But I'm thankful to God that things are as well as they are. And so Pastor said, do you still have it? I said, I got it. I can speak. So this morning, if you would stand, the scripture reading is coming from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, starting at the 6th verse. And it reads, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Amen. That is Deuteronomy verses 6 and 7. If I were to have a subject, it would be belief determines your action, but also action determines what you believe. There's a word that God uses in this passage of scripture. It says, "Command, which I command you." And that's a very strong word to use. When you command something, you have authority to make that type of statement. And then sometimes we find in the scriptures where God will just say something. He won't say the word, "I command," but he will say, "I said." But either way, whatever word he chooses to use, whether it's command or said, God said it. And it doesn't matter what word he uses or how he uses it. It's just a matter that God said that. And so we have to trust that when God says something, that something is going to happen out of what we do. What God is commanding is that we should teach our children while you have them in your home. He says, teach them when you go to the store. Teach them when you walk in the park. Teach them when you're sitting at the dinner table. Teach them when you're watching television, even if it's Super Bowl. There's some message while you're looking at Super Bowl that you can teach your children about God. Teach them when you're watching a movie. It says, before you lay down at night, say good night and tell them that you love them. When you wake up in the morning, tell them good morning and tell them about God. Pastor's message this year is put your whole self in. So continuing with that same thing, put your whole self in, we have to make sure that when we go in, we take our children with us. We cannot exclude our children from participating in Sunday worship. We can't. We can't exclude our children from coming to Bible study. We can't. We can't exclude our children when we're sitting around the table talking about the Word of God. We can't exclude them. So when we put our whole self in, that means put your children in too. Because when we don't put our children in, we expose them to the enemy. And I don't think any of us want to do that. So we have to take our children and follow what God says and teach them throughout the day. In Deuteronomy, it became an important message of Scripture because the Israelites were about to go into the Promised Land. And as they were going into the Promised Land, they were going to face some things that they didn't want to see and didn't want to hear and didn't want their children to see or hear. So that's why it was important for them to teach their children. Because you have to guard your ears and you have to guard your eyes. And if I don't know what the truth is, then I'll think everything that I see is true. So I have to be able to discern and determine what is right and what is wrong. So God is saying, prepare them before they go out of your home, so that they know what they're seeing and know what the difference is. In today's society, our children are going to school, public school, private school, wherever they go, and they're going to be taught something. It's better if it comes from you than if it comes from the world or the teachers that are teaching anything and everything. Boys can go into the girls' restroom. Girls can go into the boys' restroom. They teach that. But if you don't teach it at home, then they'll be confused when they get out there. And then they'll begin to take that word that somebody else has taught them because they know no better. And they'll begin to wonder about their own gender. So teach them. If they're boys, be boys. And if they're girls, be girls. We have to teach them. To live in a world that doesn't know God, you need God. You need to know Him, and you need courage when you need to speak it true. They need to know what is true and what is false. If you recall that during the presidential campaign, every time that one of the presidential candidates would speak, how many know everything that came out of their mouth wasn't true? And they even had some people on CNN and the Today Show that would do a fact check. And so they would run their little fact check and say, this is what they said, but this is what is true. So we have to know that when we're listening to all of that, what is true? Do your own research and find out what they're saying. Is it true or is it false? Because if somebody says, we can make our mouth say anything. In Deuteronomy, to fully tell your children the truth, faithful dads were required to talk to their children and to give them words of protection so that when they encountered temptation or a deceptive spirit, they knew how to handle it. In today's world, we have all kinds of technology. We have the Instagram, we have text messaging, we have email, we have Facebook. We have all kinds of things that our children are able to access. So if you don't give them the information, they have access to all of the information that they possibly can need and use. And if there's no filter on it, what comes in is going to come directly into their spirit.
And again, they're going to sort through it and try to determine what is right and what is wrong. So there's a wealth of information out there. There is a song, and those who like Frozen, I don't know if you know the lyrics in Frozen, but in Frozen it says, it's time to see what I can do, is to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. That's the lyrics in a song that many of our children listen to. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no rules for me. So if there's no filter for our children, then it makes it difficult for them to really grow up in a godly environment. Just because it's posted on the internet, or just because the words of a song say it so, doesn't make it so. Children can get all types of information that they choose to get. The Bible is the only source of our information that is true. It's the inspired word of God. In Galatians 1, Paul says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. So that means that if we come telling you anything in this church that is not the gospel, let it be cursed. So what we're going to preach and what we're going to teach is what the word of God says. And anything else outside of what God's word says is false. Spiritual dangers. I don't know how many of you remember the movie clip, Lost in Space. And there was a robot that every time he was assigned to this boy. And when the boy would go out venturing out and go different places on this planet, and if the robot encountered danger, he would warn the boy, and he would say, danger, Will Robinson. Our children are growing up in a culture in which if we don't teach them danger, then they won't recognize danger, Will Robinson. So we have to let them know what the word of God says so that when they encounter it, something on the inside of them rises up and say, danger. And it keeps them from that. So we're living in a culture in which there's a lot of bullying going on. There's peer pressure going on. And how we look, what we wear, the name brand, how we even talk, where we live, and the cars that we drive, the house that we live in. Our children are under much more pressure than it was when we were growing up. They have temptations now from different types of drugs. There's so many drugs out there now, and they're lacing it with different things now that we're seeing a lot of mental illnesses coming because the drug has now affected their mental abilities. And people are losing their mind. Our parents taught us if you ever open a drink and you walk away from that drink, you throw that drink away. I have a cousin that now is not in his right mind because he went away to college. And when he had a I don't know what it was he was drinking, but whatever he was drinking, when he walked away from that drink, they put something in it and he is no longer in his right mind. So teach your children. The philosophies of atheism says that there is no God. Agnosticism says that, well, there may be a God. Do you want your children being taught by an agnostic or an atheist? And there's other false teachings that threaten to lead our kids, our children, into error and unbelief. With so much stacked against them, there's a great need for the teaching of godly parents who love the Lord and know his word to teach them the word of truth. So since we are mingled, co-mingled in this culture with ungodly people, it is best that we empower our children with the word of truth. Children must know what they believe in order to recognize the error and to defend the truth. Our kids need conviction and courage and not to be a coward and compromise the word of God. Furthermore, what we believe will determine how we behave. So if you don't teach them what to believe, then they will behave based on what they believe. My dad was not military, but I will tell you this. He ran his home spiritually from a military, from a spiritual perspective. What he said, he did. Any situation that we faced in our family, he always applied the word of God. At that time, I did not understand why I always had to go to my mother before I went to him. But he was teaching us the Christ, the picture, the depiction of Christ. You always have to go through Christ. That is your pathway. You don't just go straight to the Father, but you go through the Father through Jesus. And so he taught us, you go to your mother, and if we didn't do that pathway, he would always send us back. What did your mother say? So we couldn't just go to him and ask him a question. She was always our mediator. And then if you asked him something, and he already told you, he'll say to you, what did I say? When we ask God the question, God has already commanded you. He's already told you what to do. So we go back to him and we ask him again because we're hoping that we will pierce his heart. We were hoping to pierce Dad's heart so that he would change his mind. God says that I am a God who never changes. In Deuteronomy, it says to teach your children. Talk about the commands of God when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. When I was a child, we would have family Bible study. We had family prayer every evening, whether Dad worked or not. If Dad was at work, Mother was at the head of the, we all got around the couch and Mother was at the head if Dad was at work. But we always, there was never a time that we missed family prayer. And we always had family dinner together. Even if Dad was working overtime, the family sat down together. Mother at the head of the table. For every meal, we had to, each one of us, say a scripture. And if you were lucky, you got the shortest scripture, because you would try to remember the scripture. So the favorite scripture, and if somebody else got that scripture, you couldn't say it. So the scripture was, Jesus wept. So the next sibling couldn't say, Jesus wept. Now you got to think of another scripture. But we all had to recite a scripture. God had put it in my dad to teach the children because there was going to be a day that we were going to have to recall that word. And I don't know if at that time my dad knew he was raising preachers and teachers in his house. But I know today he knows that. And I'm thankful for the teachings that my mom and my dad gave us because I'm going to tell you, it saved my life. Because when I was in places that I shouldn't have been, I remembered the very word that my dad spoke to me. And that was a word that I relied on so that I could get out of that place that I was in, so that I could not go there anymore because I was uncomfortable where I was. And we have to be uncomfortable when we're out of place, when we're out of order. That's the word of God convicting us. And if you're not convicted, if you're in the wrong place and you're not convicted, then you're not dwelling in the Holy Spirit. And we need the word of God in us so that we can fight it. As children, we were exposed to discipleship and didn't know it. We didn't know what we were being given. But God gave my dad, he gave him a word that will save all of us. And then to pass that word on to our children. We were taught how to reverence and fear God. We were taught the importance of family and shown how a man should love his wife. And shown how a wife should love her husband. And how parents are supposed to take care of their children. He showed us that. We were taught how Christ loves the church. We were taught how little we had, but great we had. And didn't know we had great. We were taught and shown Proverbs 31. How a wife managed the home when the husband was away. And he didn't have to be concerned about her overspending or underspending, but she spent it just on what was needed. We were taught accountability. In Romans 14 and 12, it says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says, gives a helpful principle, brothers. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If your accountability friend has done something contrary to the Bible, you are called to confront him gently. Forgive him and comfort him. It also admonishes you to consider yourself before you go. Because you have to make sure if you're going to correct somebody, you need to be right too. So accountability. He taught us accountability. God imparted in my dad to teach us accountability, the scriptures in Romans and Galatians, so we never went anywhere by ourselves. It was always one of the other siblings being accountable to the other, so that when somebody did something wrong, we knew that if you did it, I'm going to get it too. So it made me hold my brothers and my sisters accountable. So I even went on dates with my brother and his girlfriend. How crazy is that? But I held my brother accountable. He didn't do nothing foolish that he shouldn't do, because if he do it, I gotta tell. Because if I didn't tell, I was gonna get in trouble too. Accountability. We were all paired up in some way, somehow, so that we never went anywhere without each other. I got lost one day. At least my mother thought I got lost. Because I got off the bus before I should have. Because I decided that I was going to go home with one of my friends, my best friend. My brother stayed on the bus. I got off the bus. Go to my friend's house. I lackadaisically went to her house and stayed for a little bit. Walked home. When I get there, the police is there. Because I'm missing in action. And my brother couldn't tell that she got off the bus and went with her friend's house because he was going to get in trouble too. So the only story he could tell is, I don't know where she's at. Accountability. He was going to get in trouble too. So he had to be accountable and put up some kind of story. So if we're going to put our whole self in, then we should be open to someone holding us accountable. Don't get offended when somebody holds you accountable, because it's all in getting to the pathway of Jesus Christ to eternal life. How many want to go? Because I know I do. going. And matter of fact, I ain't trying to go. I'm going to see the king. Accountability. Whenever in Mark 6 and 7, Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. This is my dad again. He applying the scriptures. And I didn't know he was applying the scripture. I wish he had told me that he was applying the scriptures. But he was applying the scriptures to everything we did. It says in Mark 6 and 7, he sent them out. Jesus sent them out in twos because it gave them power, strength to each other. We were taught that. As I became an adult, one thing that I regret is that the teachings that my dad gave me, I didn't practice them in my house when I became married. But I tell you what, it stuck there. Because in Proverbs said, it says, if you raise up a child in the way that he should go, when he gets old, it would not depart from him. So even though I got out of my daddy's house and I didn't apply every principle that he taught me, I tell you what, that word followed me everywhere I went. And then it eventually arrested me. There was a bumper sticker. When I was an adult, had just graduated from nursing school and was working and had this nice car, and I saw this bumper sticker and it said, it can't be bad if it feels good. Quote unquote. I bought the bumper sticker, put it on my car. I'm riding around because this bumper sticker looked good. My car was new. I'm washing my car one day, and my brother Charles walks very gingerly over to me, and he says, Bina, do you know what that bumper sticker means? And I said to him, no, not really. I just bought it. And that's all he said to me. That was enough to convict me that every person that I passed by that read my bumper sticker, that said it can't be bad if it feels good, I wonder what they were thinking about me. And so his words very carefully just kind of pierced me, and he didn't have to say anything more, because the word of God reminded me that I am wonderfully made and that I am his. And so if I am his, why do I have this bumper sticker that says it can't be bad when God didn't say that? That's not the word of God. It's not the word of God. So I took the bumper sticker off. The Christian faith stands upon some basic and essential teachings of the Bible regarding various subjects. For example, we have doctrines concerning Christ, the Holy Spirit, judgment, heaven, and hell, to name a few. These are truths we need to understand in order to defend the faith. When I teach the nursing students, I teach them healthcare law. I teach them nursing practice. And then I also teach them my experience. But one thing I tell them is that I'm going to teach you what's right. Now, when you get into the workforce, you're going to see some things that's not right. But I want to tell you, get ready. Because when you get there, you're going to come up against some opposition. Some people will say, why are you doing it that way? We don't do it that way here. And they're going to change your mindset. But what I want them to go back to is, what did I tell you? Because when they call me on the phone, and one young lady called me, she says, Dr. Day, she says, they're not doing it the way you taught us. And all I say to them is, what did I tell you? Because that's what I want them to go back to. Because when we come into conflict with our spiritual life or with everyday life, we have to remember, what did God say? What did God tell us? We got to go back to the very essence of our foundation. And we got to draw off of that, because that's what my students are going to draw off of. What did we teach them? So if we are students of Christ, and we are, if we are Christians, then we got to go back to the word of God. What did God say? We got to be in Bible study. We got to know what the Word of God says. If we don't go to Bible study, if we don't have personal time, if we don't have corporate time, we cannot draw for that. We're going to draw for whatever Donald Trump says or anybody else, because they're going to give you the false teachings. And so I give the students different types of questions. And in those questions, I tell them, read the question very carefully. Because when you get to the answer, I might have four right answers there, but only one of them is true. And what I mean by that is I might say hand hygiene is the best way to reduce infection. How do you do it? So I might put hand washing as one. I might put alcohol as a second one. And the third one, I might put both of them. So which one is the correct answer? So you see, they're all true, but which one is the best answer? The one that says all of them. So here is in Genesis, where we have our first oral examination. In Genesis 3, Satan was determined to state the test in a way that would convince Adam and Eve what God had said. Now, y'all remember, if you've been told something by God, what somebody else says is false, you should be able to recognize it. So it wasn't what Satan said that was wrong, it was how he said it. He created enough doubt in them that made them begin to question the Creator. How dare we let somebody false come and tell us what the Creator has told us? So here is what was said. Jamie, if you can put up Genesis, because this is a true false. This is a multiple choice. So it says that, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Now, this is what God said. Now, watch this, because Satan is getting ready to talk. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. Next slide. Here's what Satan said. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, not God, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? He's got a question. This is her test. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's creating a doubt of what God had already said. So here's her answer. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She's right. But of the free of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Okay, the serpent got a response for that too. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Did God say that? Did God say that that you shall die? Yes, he said it. So why is she letting the serpent tell her? Why do we let the serpent, why do we let the enemy, why do we let false teachers tell us something? This is why our children need to know what God says. Because somebody is going to walk up to them and tell them that Jesus was not born of a Virgin Mary. We need to know the truth. Because if we know the truth, then we can teach it to them. And if they're not here, we can't teach them. So if you follow through with what God has commanded you, things can be different. So if you don't know the truth, then you cannot rightly divide the word of truth. In Timothy it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know the word so you can sort through what's right and what's wrong. False doctrine is a belief that does not match the word of God. Obviously, we must know what the Bible says before we can recognize when a teaching contradicts it. Some examples of false doctrines are that Jesus was not born of a virgin, or that God is not the creator. Heresy is a deliberate denial of revealed truth from God's word, accompanied with acceptance of error and a self-willed opinion in opposition to biblical truth. Those who teach heresy are determined to convince others to accept their belief system despite what the Bible teaches. It's a deliberate denial of revealed truth. When Moses explained how fathers were to teach God's word to their children, he gave them examples of when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. He says, while you're sitting, walking, lying down, teach them. Talking about the Lord and his word should be as common as today's Super Bowl. All right. A wise parent knows how to shift any dinnertime conversation into an opportunity for a spiritual lesson. Although the Lord gives fathers the primary responsibility for teaching the scriptures to their children, mothers, we also play an important role. In fact, we see a lot of women who are single moms and have to train their children. But it does not dismiss your responsibility. Single moms, you must teach your children. Our society is in a state of disarray. Parents and believers of God, we cannot afford to deny or ignore the sin that's in our land. The world is filled with sexual attractions and drugs and ungodly music that could lure our children away from God. Yeah. Cult groups and other unconditional acceptances and permissive lifestyles which appeal to the desires of the flesh. Our children will either fall for all the lies and become victims, or they will stand firm for what they believe and become victors. We need to courageously stand for our convictions and defend our beliefs in a world that holds opposing views. This means we can't play with the truth. Can't play with it. When we live by his teachings, we are protected from the false doctrines that could destroy us. As parents, we're called to set an example for our children by grounding ourselves in the scriptures and protecting our minds from the negative influence of ungodly music and television. Since our children watch us, we have to model it. My dad and my mom modeled the Christian life. And again, I didn't realize how much they did that. But I value it now because it comes back to me in a clear depiction of Christ and his relationship to the church. It's time to get serious about reading and studying the Bible, participating in every aspect of the church. The pathway of false doctrine is full of signs that clearly tell us we're going in the wrong direction. Today's technology could be good or it could be bad. It just depends on how we use it. It's a great way to share the gospel. It really is. If you've got Facebook, Camille does it all the time. If you have Facebook, put a scripture out there. Talk about the joy of the Lord is your strength. Talk about how God brought you through something. Put it on Facebook. Text message it. We send out emails and give a word of encouragement. Technology is great if it's used right. We have to even know that if Jesus can be tempted or is if Satan can take an opportunity, because Jesus wasn't tempted, but if Satan can take an opportunity to try to tempt Jesus, certainly he can do something to you. Because he even went to the wilderness and began to talk to Jesus. And here's some things he said. The devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Mm-hmm. Jesus answered him, told him, "It's written." It's written. This is what you got to do. You got to tell Satan, "It's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Okay, devil got something else. And the devil said, "All this power." Now here is a created being telling the God who created everything what he can do for him. He says, and the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomever I will, I give it." This is Satan saying this to Jesus. Whatever he chooses to do with this power, he can do it. Now, the last time I checked, Satan was kicked out of heaven with no power and no authority. And he also has, if y'all don't know this, he has limited access. That means that he has to go to God for permission. So when he comes to you to kill, steal, and destroy, you have to know that he has limited access. And so first of all, if he's coming to you, it's because he has permission. And he can't do no more than what God tells him, allows him to do. Amen, somebody. It took something for me to get that in my spirit. Because I tell you, every time you wake up in the morning, trust me, Satan is trying to see who he can devour. And you got to let him know you don't have any power. And you say that with authority. So he says, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." So here's what God says in Isaiah. You have to go to Isaiah. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to any graven images." So when Satan says that he can do all of this, God says, "I am the Lord." Satan even tries to tell him, "You got angels. You can throw yourself down off of this. And they won't they take care of you?" So here's in closing. Those years of teachings that my dad and my mother inserted in me have come to life. Yes. Yes. Paul says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. So I'm telling you now that God has given me something and that I didn't even know I had. And many of you are walking around with a gift that God has given to you and is lying dormant. Right. But I'm telling you, God is coming and he's going to retrieve that he has given to you. And you might think that God is taking you one direction, but I'm going to tell you this. You'll look around and you're going in a whole different direction. That's because what God has put into you, he's coming back to use it for his glory. It requires you to put your whole self in. So as the theme of the pastor, from every aspect of Christian values, we are being encouraged today to not let anything fall from your family, from your life, that could cost you your life or cost you your children's life. Amen. Will you stand? Amen. I just want to speak this to you, because God is truly amazing. And I don't know, but there's some things that's in here today. Some questions, lots of questions. And I'm going to tell you this. The word of God says that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I will tell you this, that nothing shall keep me from inheriting eternal life. So every opportunity you get, if you promise yourself this, because whatever God says, he's going to do it. If you promise yourself this, that I'm going to put my whole self in. I'm not going to leave anything out. I'm not going to leave my family out. I'm not going to leave my money out, because everything belongs to God. But I promise you, God, that I will be committed to you. I will be committed to this ministry. I will be committed, and I will be here every day that this door is open. And I, God, commit myself as a living sacrifice unto you, God. And my children, because I want my children to be blessed. And they will come kicking and screaming, but they will come. I used to try to tear up my shoes to keep from going to church, but mama said, you're going anyway. And I'm thankful. Even if I had one shoe on, we had to go. But I'm thankful, because it saved my life. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless these your people here. God, and I pray that every word that you have said that came from the throne of you shall resonate in their spirit. God, nothing shall I add to you, and nothing shall I take away from what you said. But God, I'm transparent. I want to open up and give you the best of who you have made me to be. And God, whatever that means and whatever it looks like, God, you do it for your glory, God. You do it, God. And touch the lives of the people that we encounter every day. Those who need you and don't even know they need you. God, we pray for them. Let us not have one person go to hell if we can prevent it. So God, we thank you now, and we honor you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.